So, that said, this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I believe we are joined by Tony Leah of Unifor, Elser, General Motors, Oshawa Legendary Local, about which Tony Leah has written a book. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Phil.
At the top of the show, I said that you'd been off to Detroit and that you were attending a conference called, I believe, by Labor Notes. And I think we better tell everybody, what is Labor Notes and what's this conference business?
That's not exactly right. There were people from Labor Notes there, but it was actually...
Oh, I got it wrong.
Yeah, they were there, and they were important.
I thought I asked.
You know, as a center for organizing for rank and file workers, trying to get democratic control of unions for probably the last 40 years. Well, but what they were at and what I was at was a convention of a caucus within the UAW, the reform caucus that pushed for one member, one vote, and has led this absolutely earth-shaking transformation of the UAW and, by extension, to a great extent, the labor movement in the United States. It's called the Unite All Workers for Democracy Caucus, or UAWD. And they were having their convention. They're trying to increase their membership and increase their influence over more sections of the UAW, more locals, and to carry forward the reforms that began with a one-member, one-vote election a little over a year ago.
It's certainly an encouraging sign. You've attended, previous meetings of the UAW caucus?
I've had some contact with them and attended some meetings on Zoom, but this is the first in-person meeting I attended. So they had...
How many years has this been in existence? What have they been... because one of the little miracles I think about is usually they get somebody into office and they never meet again.
Right.
That's my experience.
That's the challenge that they're facing right now. They have not been around for very long. This organization was formed as a result of the corruption crisis in the former UAW leadership, where executive after executive was being charged and jailed, including two former international presidents. And a group of rank-and-file workers got together to say, how are we going to respond to this? And one of the first things they did was they called for a convention to change the election rules in the UAW to have one member, one vote. Shortly after that is when there was a consent decree and a monitor appointed to oversee the UAW, and there was an agreement to have a referendum of the entire membership of the UAW, which strongly voted in favor of a one-member, one-vote system, as opposed to the, the previous delegate system, which had allowed basically a one-party dictatorship going back to the
party or
Walter Reuther.
Well, it's more like a gang, isn't it?
Yes, it was more like an organized crime syndicate.
Yeah. With people ending up actually in real prisons.
Over a dozen top officials of the UAW ended up serving jail time as a result of that corruption scandal.
Mm-hmm.
So this body has only been around less than 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But they were formed at the right time to play a really dramatic role in the response to the corruption scandal.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I have to point out that while the organization is new, some of the people who were involved in it have roots back in previous attempts to reform the UAW, going back to the 1980s or even before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting mix of younger workers and, activists along with veterans from those previous struggles. A group called the Auto Worker Caravan, New Directions, which some people will remember from the 1980s had quite an impact in the UAW.
And the Black Auto Workers group.
And Black Auto Workers.
Was it called DRUM? Okay, am I right?
Yeah, the Dodge Revolutionary Union movement, which represented, you know, organized black workers that were being completely ignored by the leadership of the UAW at the time in the 1970s, and led wildcat strikes, and spread and into other plants. Started in one of the major plants where black workers worked,
mm-hmm.
and it became the League of Revolutionary Black Workers, and mm-hmm. General Baker was one of the leaders of that group, one of the founders of it. He's deceased now, but his widow and daughter.
Is it labeled General? Is that his name?
No, that was his name.
He was named General.
Yes, his name was General Baker.
He had a father and mother who were ambitious.
Father was an auto worker as well, and
good for him.
There's now a General Baker Institute in Detroit to carry on that radical tradition and to promote activist organizing and education.
Mm-hmm.
And they were represented at this conference. So it was drawing on these historical roots and learning from them, but as part of a very modern reform movement, which has been really incredibly successful, including electing the new president of the UAW, Sean Fain, who gave the keynote address there at this convention.
That it is a very remarkable thing, and so this is to be and is an annual event.
Yes, I think it's annual, or maybe it's every 2 years. I'm not sure, but they have a convention. They have a steering committee, so they had elections for the steering committee.
Mm-hmm.
But they made a big focus of the get-together education and discussion and debate about what to learn from the past, but also how to deal with the challenges they're facing right now.
Yeah.
And, there were members of the UAWD there, and there were also guests like myself who were, you know, observing it and taking part in the discussions, but obviously did not have a vote in the proceedings.
This must be of really a great interest to you, and I hope that your book is a great interest to them, because you, in your book, which is coming out on October 30th, and you're going to be speaking about it, tell us quickly about that, because I want to integrate that into what we're talking about.
Sure. The book is the truth about the 37 GM Oshawa strike, and the book launch is going to be at a different book list, as you said, on October 30th, 7 p.m. I invite everybody to attend. The themes of it really resonated with the themes of this convention. I feel I certainly got a very positive response to people I was able to talk about the book and the connection.
Yeah. But also your concerns as an author, you were saying that education was a big part of the CIO UAW effort in GM Oshawa, right?
Yeah, sure. Education, political awareness, and relying on the rank and file workers themselves to build power that can make change and to exercise power on the shop floor, you know, so not by leaders somewhere else, but by the workers who are, you know, willing to take action right where they are.
Yeah, and they're not, and it's not confined only to a trade union paradigm. They talk about the rest of the country. They have positions on Palestine.
Yes, the UAWD, one of the workshops I attended was on international solidarity, and three of the speakers were dealing with the immediate issue of the assault on Gaza and Palestinian rights, and addressed it from different points of view, and the members who were there responded very positively. They got a really strong
And they took on one of the toughest international issues, and we've spoken to you about it on the show, electric vehicles and the new shock story that Biden and Trudeau are going to put a 100% tariff on Chinese vehicles, and Unifor itself issued, Unifor being the Canadian auto workers representatives, talked about China as some sort of a sinister threat. How did they talk about it at this meeting in Detroit?
One of the workshops was called the a worker-led electric vehicle transition, and put forward the argument that a transition is absolutely necessary, that there is a climate crisis, and that we have to get away from a fossil fuel economy. But if it's led by corporations, then the profit motive ends up destroying everything and not doing what's necessary. So we have to find ways to, you know, have a worker-led transition. That was the theme of the presentation.
Could you outline roughly what does that mean, a worker-led transition? So what is that?
I think that it was somewhat difficult to define, but they pointed to some examples. And one of the examples that he used as a way forward was Green Jobs Oshawa. They said, you know, here was this attempt in Canada when a plant was being closed to take over the plant, have it nationalized, and have it produce electric vehicles for government fleets. So that would be a transition that would be beneficial to the climate, beneficial to the workers whose jobs were affected. So they held that up as one, you know, kind of positive example that could be used.
No.
And to your point about China, they didn't directly address that in the presentation, but somebody in the audience asked, in fact, made this statement. The person said, China is looking to destroy the U.S. auto industry. You know, what should we do about that? And the response from one of the panelists was this. She said that the issue changes when we move from a capitalist model to a worker-led model. And then we can cooperate. And she said, if there's workers' control, we can change who we are taught to see as the enemy, because China is not the enemy. And she, you know, talked about China.
Did anybody clap?
Yes, people applauded that. It was applauded.
Yeah.
You know, and she talked a little bit about China's progress in high-speed rail and developing solar power and wind power.
They got all those ideas about solar power and the trains and stuff. They stole that from us. The reason we're not building them is they took all the plans. That's the nearest I can make out.
That must be the reason.
Yeah. So we have to ask them if they'll give it back. What a fortunate situation they're in. They've actually elected a president, and they're still meeting. And they're still helping guide the union.
Yeah, in fact, one of the challenges they have is that they're very, very aware of is that you can't rest on your laurels when you elect a few people, because those people are prone to wobble or change direction. And so they know that they have to have a much stronger presence at the local level, in local leadership, and throughout the union, if they're going to continue to make progress. And so that a lot of the discussion was about that. The education section of the UAW was very well represented and is growing. I think they have about 25% of UAW members are now from higher education, and that is continuing to expand. They're holding strikes. Some of the strikes, the remarkable strike in California, the University of California, which was around a political issue of defending the students and workers who were involved in the encampment and who were attacked by the police. And they had a strike that went on for several weeks around that issue. That was another issue that was talked about at this conference in one of the workshops. So
that's UAW fighting over that issue of the grew out of the encampments, right?
Yes, because UAW represents, as we talked about earlier, 48,000 workers in the University of California system.
Oh, that's phenomenal. And Sean Fain spoke.
Sean Fain spoke. He talked about, of course, a lot about their strike against the auto companies last year, the stand-up strike, and the new organizing they're doing at Volkswagen and other plants in the U.S. But at one point he mentioned, as one of their accomplishments, issuing a statement on calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, and that got a great round of applause from the people who were there.
There's really no question that Sean Fain has become the most important face in American labor, and Canadian auto workers and Canadian unionists are watching very closely. Tony Lear, thank you very, very much. We all look forward to your book launch at a different book list, October 30, 7 p.m.
Great. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I want to tell you again that Saturday, October the 5th at 2 p.m., International Day of Action for Palestine, Yonge Dundas Square. Workers will stand with Palestine. 1 p.m. at Cecil Street. 25 Cecil Street will march to the larger rally, and both events are endorsed by the Toronto Labour Council, Steelworkers Toronto, and Labour for Palestine. This is the Taylor Report, and it's been great being with you. I think Atif Kaboursi said it very nicely. He said the CBC used to talk to him, and now they don't. So we say it's an ill wind that blows nobody any good. The CIUT has a wonderful Professor Kaboursi. So, again, it's the Taylor Report, and it was a great show coming up. We'll see you next week.